Best-selling author and American psychologist Mary Pfeiffer said this, "We live in a world filled with language. Language imparts identity, meaning, and perspective to our human community. Writers are either polluters or part of the cleanup team. Just as the language of power and greed has the potential to destroy us, the language of reason and empathy has the power to save us. Writers can inspire a kinder, fairer, more beautiful world, or invite selfishness, stereotyping, and violence. Writers can unite people or divide them." In this Book Show podcast, host, confidence coach Susan Axelrod asks women authors a simple question: which kind of writer are you? She invites each guest to step into the confidence zone to proclaim how her book can inspire. If you are seeking inspiration to create your legacy, take out your pen and pad. Your book, My Time, starts now.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Destiny episode of the Book Show podcast for the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group. Your book, My Time. I could not be more delighted to be bringing back a guest for a deeper conversation. It was just a few weeks ago that I introduced you to this writer, Bert Forman, who came on to talk about his part in what I'm calling a book for our time, Voices 19, Their Legacies Live On. Well, folks, you know I am all about legacy, and so I couldn't resist the opportunity to bring on Brenda Cortez and share her work that she put together. I met Bert. We started chatting, as I do, and we are creating something wonderful together. So I am delighted to welcome you, Bert. Hello, new friend.
Hello, how are you?
I really couldn't be better, Bert. I'm so happy to be having this conversation today.
As am I. This is it's exciting. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to come back and again, further our conversation and share more about my brother, of course, but then just, as you said, just really kind of have a conversation about destiny and how we get to where we are.
I love that I now know your brother, Vince Forman. In the book, Voices 19, there are 19 people who shared the stories of those people, our loved ones whom we lost to COVID. So I want to invite you to just take a minute to share with us the story of how you came to be a writer in that book, and then by all means, introduce Vince to our listeners.
Absolutely. You know, it's, and I think I shared this before, it was really happenstance that I really came across this opportunity. As you mentioned, Brenda and Jean were putting together this project, and they reached out to me after seeing one of my YouTube videos. And it touched Jean in a way to where she thought it would be perfect for the project they were working on to have 19 authors collaborate to put together stories. And you know, as we mentioned before, the beautiful part, at least from my perspective, about this book is it really puts faces to numbers. Mm. You know, I look back as to, you know, prior to, you know, having the invitation, and I remember this one incident or this interaction I had with another passenger on the plane. Long before COVID, I was one of those guys who would get on the plane and I would wipe my seat down and everything else because I'm a bit of a germaphobe.
You know, okay. Big reveal here.
Yes. Okay. So I am that guy. I get on and I wipe my seat down because, you know, I've seen things, you know, people put their head down, maybe they have a cold and I don't really want to use that tray table with that on there. So I'm that guy. And so I started to do this, and this was shortly after my brother passed away. And, you know, I was not in my typical, you know, happy frame of mind. I was feeling pretty, you know, sad, of course. And so I'm going through my process of doing this. And the gentleman next to me made a very not nice comment about me doing that. And it really, I was really taken aback. And so I shared with him, I said, you know, I'm going to continue to do this because I just lost my brother to COVID. And so as long as I feel like I need to do this, I'm going to do it. Mm. And he made a revelation to me that made me think, and it really goes very well with what this opportunity has allowed me to do. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, you know, out of all the people that I've ever met, you're the only one who've lost someone to this virus. Mm. And I just said, you know, I think that's part of the challenge. People don't see it for what it truly is until they are directly impacted by this. And I said, count yourself blessed that you haven't lost anyone.
Right.
I said, you know, unfortunately for me, I can no longer say that.
Right.
And so it just really made me start thinking that perhaps that's part of the challenge, that people, all we hear from the media is about numbers,
right?
This high. They never stop to put faces to this, and they never stop to put names, they never stop to put lives to COVID-19. That's all we hear. And then we hear all the political rhetoric, you know, on all sides. And you just, as someone who's lost someone, you just want it to stop. Mm. You want someone to say, hey, my brother was not number 5,248,000. You know, that's, my brother was Vince Foreman.
Right.
And he lived a great life with a great legacy. And that's what I want people to remember, not that number. And
right.
So when Gene came to me with the opportunity to join Brenda's, you know, idea and collaborate with the other authors, I thought, this is perfect. This is what is needed for folks to now maybe not look at it like it's in numbers in a political game, but their lives impacted. There are people who are on the other end and the worst end of this virus. And we need to maybe hold those people up as opposed to looking at the numbers and all the other things that go with that.
Yeah, I loved it just now when you said my brother was Vince Foreman. You know, that really just calling out the humanity, that's what you're talking about. And that's where those numbers as reported during that time, we don't hear them reported daily like we used to.
Right.
Now we have even... what do you say, lower level, because now there's just this aggregate number, right?
Right.
And so now all these humans, our loved ones lost, are inside an aggregate number. And that's why when I connected up with Brenda Cortez, the person who put together this anthology, or perhaps she connected up with me, you know how that goes, I don't know. I said yes immediately. I said, I want to have you on this book show so you can speak to the legacies of some of the people lost. So because I've gotten to know you, I've listened to your videos, I've seen the picture of you and Vince. I had to ask you how old, you know, how much older was Vince than you,
right?
Because you have the tall and the big brother and the little brother. And so I want to invite you to share some stories about Vince with us. I really can't wait.
Sure. You know, it's so funny. You know, I was looking at those pictures after you said that. I'm like, oh my gosh, there really was a height, you know, difference there. The funny thing is, I think I caught up with him later on in life. So, you know, and we actually used to joke about it. He would always tell me, oh, you know, I'm still taller. I'm like, oh, not that much. So
not that much taller.
Yeah, exactly.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just one of the things that, you know, we would always play, you know, about. And so, and that was Vince, you know, and that's why, you know, we talked about this on the last episode of, you know, I've heard it. And as we've had some of our calls and things with the authors, you know, someone brought up that someone shared with them that, you know, I really don't want to read this book about all this sadness and all these things. I'm like, you know, one is part of life and it's part of the journey, right? It's, you know, it's just what it is. But as I mentioned before, you might be surprised that you're going to laugh a lot with some of these stories, you know, and we talk amongst ourselves and we share in our group, you know, just some of the delightful things about each one of our loved ones. And Vince was definitely that. He was just he was the life of the party. You'd be hard pressed to find anyone who didn't like Vince Foreman. He was just that guy. He never met a stranger, and everyone was instantly family. And that's really what I want folks to remember, and what I really want folks to get out of this book, is that these folks are, you know, they're everyday happy people who had great lives prior to this whole thing, and, you know, unfortunately came, you know, untimely passing. But, you know, beyond that, you know, really getting some insight into Vince, you know, I share this in his story. He was a protector, you know, he was my protector, you know, and I just remember so many times as a kid, you know, my mouth writing checks that the rest of me couldn't cash. And so, you know, I was that kid out on the playground playing with some of the older kids. And, you know, one thing leads to, you know, a bunch of boys and together, and one thing leads to another, and you having words. And, you know, I never had a fear because I would do one or two things. And, you know, I would say to my buddies, can you go get my brother, please? And of course, you know, they'd run and Vince would come up and take care of business for me. Or someone would just say, you know, that's Vince's brother because they've been down this road before. So that was Vince. He was always there whenever I called, whenever I needed him. And just, you know, and I remember once, you know, we were having a conversation with a gentleman, and he said, you know, we don't talk every single day, but he knows that if he needs me, I'm dropping everything I'm doing and I'll be there, and vice versa. And that's just the bond we had. You know, we didn't have to talk every single day, but because we were who we were and are who we are, we knew that we were always there for each other, and including our little brother Terrell as well. You know, no matter what, we're going to be there for each other. It's just that type of bond that we have. And again, it's not like we talk every day, but that's just who we are. And Vince definitely led the charge with that, setting the tone for both Terrell and I to know and to always remember that above everything is family. And that's just the message that he would always send out, you know. And that's what I really want to continue with him, you know, in the book, and just continue that part of his legacy.
Well, first of all, I'm already looking forward to meeting Terrell. But secondly, I want to let you know that my good friend, Cornelia Stephanie, who is the head of a large organization, is with us today, and she is being our scribe. And she wrote down, Vince Foreman, he was that guy. And so thank you to my friend Cornelia. Thank you to the others who are here with us live listening and witnessing this conversation. And I'm already going to give a shout out in advance. If you're watching this by recording, then I want to say thank you also for showing up in witness. So Bert, I want to now bring in what's happened between us, because I was getting chills as you were talking about Vince Foreman. I want to invite people to look for this book. We'll post a link. It's coming out April 26th. It's called Voices 19. Their legacies live on. And we will make sure across my whole platform that people have access to purchase that book and witness the legacies of the people written about in this book. What's happened between the two of us is so exciting and so thrilling for me, because it was in the late 90s that I really started moving into work in philanthropy. And as a result of my work with philanthropists, I created a tagline, "What will your legacy be?" It was a simple question. And in those days, I got the business cards from Staples or someplace, and I wrote them, I typed them out, I printed them out, and then I got them laminated. So I had a few hundred of these laminated cards with this simple question in black font with a question mark: what will your legacy be? fast forward to the internet, the World Wide Web.
Right.
And my friend, my dear friend, Eileen Handelman, purchased the domain name for me. It was in 2004, whatwillyourlegacybe.com. And then it sat there. I did nothing with it until 2010, when I created my website. And over all these years, Bert, I have kept the same, even though my work has grown and shifted and morphed, I have kept the same website, whatwillyourlegacybe.com. And I think, Bert, when I watched your video that you, in which you talked about destiny, I feel in a, maybe Vince was bringing us together. He's like, Susan and Bert, hello, get to know each other, because we are now having a conversation about destiny, and we are going to be doing great things on the topic of destiny. So I want to invite you to share with us right now, Bert, how has this idea been growing for you? And what do you want to share right now about this idea of destiny?
Yeah, you know, I agree, Susan. I think I always tell folks, life happens the way it's supposed to, you know, good, bad, indifferent, you know, and people talk about, you know, again, Vince passing so early. And when it first happened, you know, I'm like everyone else. I'm like, why? Why was this, if, again, from my perspective, why was this amazing man taken from all of us so early? He's 56 years old. And by contrast, you look at other folks, it's like, he had so much life to live. And then this is the question, and it's a tough one. And it's, did he? Had he done what he was put here to do? Had he fulfilled his destiny? And it's one that I struggle with. And I really look at that. But I look at Vince, and I look at all the things growing up that he shared with me that he wanted to do, from having the family that he has, and having his daughters, having grandchildren, having, you know, some of the business opportunities that he had. One of the things that Vince always wanted to do was take a cruise. He had never been on a cruise, and he always wanted to go on a cruise. And he talked about it, even so much so that one year he was heading the committee for the family reunion. He thought, well, this would be a great idea. Let's get everyone in the family to go on a
cruise. Let's do a family cruise.
Exactly. Did not pan out. But interestingly enough, about a year, almost to the day that he passed, Vince and my mom went on a cruise.
Aww.
And they had the best time of their lives. Fast forward to a year, that box had been checked. But how fitting was it then, at the end of his journey, my mom was there holding his hand. And so, again, you talk about destiny, and she shared with me, she gave him permission to take the next phase of our journey, you know, our life journey. And he went away. And so when you start talking about destiny, you have to really look at the bigger picture and all the things you really want to achieve in life, and then how you actually got to that point. And, you know, for Vince and I, it's really about a base foundation from family. You know, we were told at an early age by our grandparents that, you know, it was drilled in our heads, our cousins' heads, our parents' heads, our, you know, and their siblings' heads, that we come from good stock. And we have
great— I love that. We come from good stock.
Yes.
Period.
And we have a destiny. And that's all of us. And that's what we believe. And, you know, you start looking back over your life, and you look at things that happened in your life, and you look at the decisions you made, and you try to figure where they come from. And it comes from that foundation, you know, and sometimes good, bad, and different, because sometimes you rebel from those things that you know, been taught the entire life. But most of the time you come right back to it, and you realize, because you hear that voice. And for me, and for Vince, because he had an amazing relationship with our grandmother, it was always grandma. I'm not sure. It looks like I may have had a failure. Can you still
Yes, I can hear you. It was
Okay,
always
perfect.
grandma. It was always grandma, the matriarchal voice.
Yes.
Yes.
And so it's always grandma telling me, don't quit, don't give up, and that you have a destiny to fulfill. And when this opportunity came about, you know, with the book, I'm like, here's a great gift that's been given to me to share this. And then here's another opportunity with you to do the same. And
yes.
So that's really where I see this going. I see this evolving into something that could be really great and really reaching out to help others see and fulfill their destiny. Again, that's what Vince was all about as well. He would do anything for everyone to help them get to that point. I recall several conversations with him and where I perhaps wanted to go a different route or even quit and give up. And he would just challenge me sometimes with a simple question of why? Why would you want to do that when you've done this, 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 and this? Why give up now? And it just challenged me to think and look within myself to really try to get to that point where I knew I needed to get to. And he was always there pushing me and encouraging me. And again, challenging me to make sure that I stayed on task.
Oh my gosh, this is so good. This is so good, Bert. So I really need to back up a minute.
Sure.
And say that, first of all, there's too much. So I'm so glad we're going to be continuing this conversation. But I just want to say that I wrote down in the comments when you said it, you said, when something like this happens, like losing my brother Vince, whom I loved, you want to ask why. But then you had your own epiphany. You had your an epiphanous journey, Bert, which was somehow through grace and love, maybe therapy, I don't know, you got yourself to ask the question, well, had he done what he was put here to do? Had he fulfilled his destiny? And I was like chills all over because people talk to me about legacy all the time. Of course, what will your legacy be? I don't know. What will my legacy be? What's my purpose? What's my true purpose? But I love what you're giving us such a gift today for us to ask such a simple question. What will my legacy be? I could ask myself. Another way to say it, another thought-provoking discussion with your soul is this: have I done what I was put here to do?
Right.
Have I fulfilled my destiny?
Right. And that's definitely what I challenge myself every day. As the one thing that has come from Vince's passing is me really looking within myself to make sure that I'm prioritizing the way I should be. Looking at my life, you know, a great example is, and I share this with my team, you know, we always talk about a work-life balance. Well, I challenge them to do a life-work balance. Let's put life first.
Oh, no, damn, I love that. That's so great.
We only have one life. But how many jobs have we had over the years? So let's put the most important things first and then focus on that. And everything else will actually fall in place once we have this part going. And that's really what I would encourage everyone to do, you know, because again, knowing how painful it was to lose my brother and then going through all the stages of that and finally getting to the point of asking, had he fulfilled his destiny? I don't know, but I know that I haven't fulfilled mine. And I know there's a lot more to do. And it's up to me to get it done. And so that's what I really encourage everyone to take that same perspective and do it before you're forced to do it like I was. Mm. And because it's more painful that way, that's for sure. But maybe part of what your destiny is will impact someone who, like for me, maybe something I should have done would have impacted Vince in a way that, and why he was here. So you can't go back on that, but it's just something to think about.
I love this idea. Of course, I wake up every day and I am in intentionality, Bert, to be tuned in to my physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. I mean, come on, you know, it's not like every second of every day, but without a doubt, every day I'm in that. I'm feeling it. I'm committed to it. I'm doing it. And I love how you're waking up every day now and saying, basically, am I living my destiny? So, of course, I'm in business. And so I asked you when we were preparing this discussion today, what's your call to action going to be, Bert? What do you want? You want to move people to your YouTube channel? You want to sell something? You want to sell the books? What is it? And what you said to me was this: my call to action, Susan, is simple. I want to tell people, live your best life while you have life to live. Yeah. Is that still your call to action now, Bert?
Absolutely. You know, would I love people to check out my YouTube channel? I think there are great messages there. Absolutely. If you never do, just live your life. Just make sure that you are fulfilling your own destiny and on the path to do so. Because quite frankly, you know, you can go the rest of your life and not see anything that I've ever done past this, and it wouldn't change your life one way or another. But if you fail yourself, that's going to directly impact you. So I would definitely encourage folks to look at themselves and make sure that they are living their lives. And especially like the way things are today, I've seen so many people doubting and self-reflecting and not really knowing what's next for them. There's no better time than right now to figure that out and to really look at yourself to make sure that you have what it takes and, you know, within yourself to get there. And if not, how do you get there? How do you build on that? How do you make sure that your next step is the first step to your best step? And so I just encourage you all to make sure that, you know, you are living your life and you're trying your best to fulfill your destiny.
Well, let me tell you, Bert, like I said, I'm in business, and I'll give you one way to do that. I have a one-time session that I call the Call to the Powerful Self. It's a 75-minute session. It's $90. And let me tell you, every person who's ever taken it has thanked me for the opportunity to do so. And so to live out your destiny, to figure it out, Bert, you know, we have a big teaser here. We want to tell people to stay tuned because you have not heard the last of Bert and Susan. I can tell you that right now. And you have not heard the last word on destiny. But so often, Bert, as you very well know, people just don't know. They have no idea. And so before we leave, I want to let everyone know something else that you shared with me. I said, is that it? Is that call to action it? And you said this: there's one more thing I want to let people know. Life is better when we all smile. And honestly, Bert, as I've mentioned to you, I'm creating a merchandise shop, and that quote is going to be on a t-shirt. So you better believe that. So Bert, this is not the end of this conversation. It's the beginning. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I'm delighted to know you. I'm sending out my full love to Vince's daughters. You know, I have daughters, and to his family, and inviting them into our circle, our growing circle as well. So Bert, thank you so much, and I'll see you soon.
Awesome, thank you. And much love to all my Voices 19 collaborators. Love you guys.
And we will be posting the link to purchase that book in the comments, you can be sure. Fantastic. All right, Bert, I'll see you soon.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.